Okay, so we have maybe half of the audience already developed in C++, and a few of them already use GTKMM. GTKMM, as the GNOME C++ bindings, is quite established now. It's not really controversial anymore. People are using it. There are a lot of particularly corporate developers, because C++ is so much more popular in the corporate world than C or other languages. So I'll try to explain why we think that GTKMM has advantages over other solutions, such as plain GTK+ or other C++ toolkits. So, firstly, people like C++ rather than plain C because it gives organization to your code. You can implement natively concepts such as object orientation, which you can do in other languages, but which are difficult without C++. Now, with GTKMM, it allows you to write code which can be tested at compile time. More of the logic of the code can be found, the problems can be found by the compiler rather than being found by testing the application running it, especially running it. Because of language and because of the ability for language to organize the code, the API can be clearer. You can use, although, for instance, in GTK+, you can derive new widgets, you can make new classes, because GObject allows this. It's very difficult. So in practice, people make new widgets for the library itself, for GTK+, or for other libraries, or for some applications which are made by people who really know what they're doing. But mostly people just use the API, they don't extend the API themselves. With C++ and with GTKMM, you can make a new widget just by deriving a new class. It's easy in C++, it's easy in GTKMM. And if you're going to do object orientation, you want to derive new classes. It allows you to organize your code well. So it's a massive advantage. Again, in C++, C++ is a complicated language. There's lots to it. But people do like it because it allows them to be lazier about memory management. In C and GTK+, just about everything is a pointer. And there are still plenty of people who work for companies. They're scared by pointers. They don't like to have to worry about when to delete things. So you can have things like copy by value, member variables, and a lot of time you can just not worry about the pointers. People like that. With GTKM there's less code because we don't have to use special things like the cast macros you have in GTK+. GTK+ has things to allow object orientation in C. It's already there in C++. We just do whatever is obvious in C++. Another problem with GTK+ is the reference counting. For a lot of types, like GDK types or some pure GObject types, you have to manually reference count things. You have to say, well, now I need to remember that I have a reference to this. Later I'll need to unreference it. There's fairly vague rules about whether you're given a reference to something when you get a new instance, or whether you need to give a reference when you give it to something else. It's difficult, it's unclear, it's a source of problems. With C++, you just don't ever need to worry about it. You're vaguely aware of it, as I'll show you, but it's not a problem. Bugs don't arise from it. And if when there are bugs, there are bugs in GTKMM, and we fix them. Okay, so like I mentioned, we have syntax such as this in GTK+, which I guess we're all familiar with. I guess most of you are familiar with GTK+ code. The first thing you notice here is that there's, in one function name, you have a separation between the class name and the method name. So we have many functions all with the same prefix. And it's so much easier to have your class instance and just call the method on it. You can see where the gap is, where the separation is. We're going to see, to implement the idea of inheritance of a hierarchy, you need to have this class macro, because C doesn't know that, for instance, a button is a widget. You have to tell it that it's a widget. In C++, if setText happened to be a method in a base class, it would tell you if you're doing something wrong. So it's less code, it's clearer code. It's an incredibly simple example, but that's the single major reason to use GDKML. It's just simpler, it's more obvious. Okay, I'll run through a very, very simple hello world, and I'll touch on some of the things in it later. So instantly you see that instead of GDK plus, you might make a new instance of a window, start adding things to it, and then showing it. But in a big application, that's going to be fairly disorganized. You're going to end up with lots of global data. We like to derive new classes so we can put everything inside the class. We can have relationships between classes. We like to do object orientation. So here we instantly derive a new window type, and that's just difficult in the GDK plus. But here, it's part of the language. Destructor, and we have a signal handler which will be called when the button is clicked. Again, here you see a member variable that is an instance without a pointer. We don't have to worry about when to allocate it, when to deallocate it. It's just there. It will be automatic. In the implementation of our constructor, we can give the information for how that button should be initialized. We can give it the title, some more crap about the border width. And here we can connect the click signal of the button to the signal handler. I will show you that syntax a bit more later. Then we can add the button to the window and show it. And that's our signal handler. I think the code is fairly obvious and it's self-contained. It's all part of the window. And then we can have a little main function and take our initialization arguments and just say run that window. It will open the window, show it, it will do all the stuff. When the user closes that window, that main instance will stop, the program will stop, which is pretty much what you want most of the time. You can do other things if you like, but that's 95% of the time, that's what you want. Okay. When we talk about C++ toolkits, we end up talking about Qt. The fact is, most people who use GDKMM are not interested in using GDK+ or any C toolkit. They're interested in using C++. When they're here, they're working with GDKMM because they want C++, not because they want GDK+, or not because they want GNOME. So it's worth talking about Qt, which is where I get to be opinionated and offensive and whatever the hell. Okay. The major religious issue with Qt is that it's not pure C++. It extends the language. There's some issue about whether it's really an extension or whether a preprocessor is not an extension, but it's extending the language. It means that Qt code cannot be compiled with a C++ compiler without extra steps. That's offensive to people, it's difficult. It leads to forks of all the other tools down the chain. It makes it very difficult to use Qt code with other languages. In principle, if every toolkit, every library did this, nothing would be able to work together. It is a real problem. We don't like it. We want C++. It not only does it extend the language, it tries to re-implement things which are already there in standard C++, such as containers, lists, vectors, and strings. All of this is because Qt was designed in the past before C++ was standardized, when they needed to do these strange things just to get something that works. It was understandable. But the problem is the world has moved on and they haven't. And well, we'd like now like to kind of reassess that decision. Again, now there are C++, there's namespaces in C++. They're useful. They allow us to say, for instance, that button is something in the GTK namespace. Allows us to organize stuff. But Qt doesn't use it. There's really no good reason for it. 95% of the compilers they're targeting can handle it. There's a major issue of memory management. It seems to be either discouraged or impossible to use delete with Qt controls or widgets. You're supposed to new something, allocate something, and then forget about it. That can be convenient, but it's alien to people. People like to have some control over memory management they've learned for years, to have a delete there every new, or to have some clear memory management structure. And particularly because corporates are full of people who do not have a full knowledge of C++, it's not a good idea to lead them astray in that way. Because one day they'll be having no deletes with Qt, then they'll be having no deletes with some other object, which doesn't have the same behavior. Now, it's nice to say, to have simple memory management to say, for instance, the window should take over ownership of the child widgets inside it. That's nice, we can do that as well, but it's not the default, it's not forced upon you with GTK now. Like I said, when you extend the language, you end up with you have to have a preprocessor. It's very difficult to make files for that. You then need to have IDEs which understands the language. Your documentation generator needs to understand this new language. Everything forks. And therefore, the whole world of working with Qt is wacky, bizarre. It's separate from the rest of the world. I'm so wrong. It gets worse. Naturally, we also wrap the GNOME classes, so with GTK then you can work closely with GNOME. I feel that the whole API is a bit strange because it closed off this development. For instance, the way you put things in containers is a bit strange. It's kind of a two-step process with Qt for no good reason. A major advantage of our signal system is that it's compile time. It checks your signal signatures, your types, how many parameters you have, the return type, that kind of thing. Checks at compile time. You won't have the kind of runtime errors you get when you run kdevelop. You won't see strings of things saying the signal the person connected to doesn't exist. Major issue, the language, the license, GTKMM is LGPL. You can use it for commercial closed source applications. People want to do that. We don't want to close off to people. With Qt, corporations need to spend money to write applications which are not open source. And corporations have the money to do that, but they don't like to spend the money before they really know that they want to spend the money. GTKMM is developed in the open on mailing lists. Everything we do is justified in great length. There's reasons for what we do. At the least, we have to point somebody to the thread saying why we did it. And therefore, I think that's why our API is more state-of-the-art, it's more up-to-date. It's doing the things people expect now. If there's anything strange, there's a reason for it. We can't just say that's how it is. There's nobody talking about the design of the Qt API in public. Therefore, like all, it's not closed source, but it's closed. Therefore, like all closed things, it becomes eccentric. It's not what people want. Okay. I'll go over some GTKMM specific techniques. There's a few things which are unusual to GTKMM. We would like that everything would be just what you expect in C++, because that's what we want. But there's naturally a few things C++ does not support. The major things are UTF-8 and strings, and the ideas of signals and slots. UTF-8 is now the standard for internationalized text on Unix. But there is no UTF-8 string in C++. It's UTF-8s, as you might know, for regular, well, most regular European languages, for most of the characters, it's the same as ASCII. And that's to make it easy to write the code for it to be compatible. So you can, in theory, use standard string for this, but as soon as you start dealing with per character stuff, you're going to have wacky behavior, because you end up dealing with one byte, one half of a character, instead of the whole character, which might be two or more bytes. Now, other languages have their own string classes, which are completely different, but we've tried very hard to write a string class which looks as much as possible like standard string, but where it must, it deals with per characters rather than per bytes. And that's successful, that works well. That's glib ustring. It works, it's as close to C++ as we can make it. There's also refpointer, which you see quite a lot in C++ code, and I'll show that in the next slide. There's also signals. We have signals in GTK+, which is, again, doesn't exist in languages. This is what Qt implements in their language extensions, the idea of having one object tell another object something has happened. Okay, refpointer. There's certain things in GTK+, such as tree model, some of the GTK objects, they must be reference counted. We've managed to provide normal C++ memory management for most widgets, but some of these things must be reference counted, there's no alternative to it. So we just try to make that as simple as possible, and we try to make it obvious when that's happening. Any GTKMM class which must be reference counted has no public constructor. You can only create it like this. It's fairly lengthy syntax, but it's fairly clear when you get used to it. You can never have a bare naked reference to that object. You can never have a pointer to the object, never have a normal reference to it. You must always go through the smart pointer. Smart pointers are like regular pointers, they act like regular pointers. You can check them for null, you can dereference them, like with the get depth call there, so you can call the method. But in the background, it's doing all the reference, the unreference and referencing, which GTK+ requires. So yeah, the current method takes the arguments just like a constructor would, and then you've got the pointer there. Once you've got it, think of it as a pointer and don't worry about it. There's no new, and therefore there's no delete, which makes sense. Smart pointers are fairly kind of well established now in C++, so it's no great shock. Signals. We implement our signal system with lib6 C++, which is now quite established and used outside of GTKMM as well. There's no way to do C++ in terms of language extensions until you extend the language itself. Nobody's done it. This is a set of templates and objects, which is kind of tightly written. It allows us to, it's the closest thing we've got to extending the language, and it's heavily influenced the Boost library, which is a set of stuff which hopefully will get into C++ itself eventually, not as language extensions, but as a set of as a library. So we're pretty confident that works well, and people like it. People don't find it offensive in terms of C++. I'll quickly show you what's happening here. First thing you see is the signal handler itself. This is like a GTK plus callback. When a button is clicked, this method will be called. We have the instance here. This is one button which might have hello in the title. Every button has a set of signals. Every signal is prefixed with the word signal, so you know what it is. You can connect two signals. You connect signals to slots. Slots are just callbacks. And to call the callback, you obviously, if it's a memory method, you need to know which instance it is. Is it in this window or this window? So So that this just tells it that it's in the hello world window, and that's a regular pointer, function pointer. That's one of the most complicated lines you'll see when you first learn GTKMM, but you soon get used to it. The instance, the signal, the slot. And the important thing here is that if you, for instance, this on button clicked took an integer parameter, the compiler would tell you that that's wrong. It wouldn't compile. You wouldn't have a crash or a warning at runtime. And when it, for languages which don't check that at compile time, you do get strange runtime problems. There's a problem in Qt, in Java, and I would guess in C sharp. Okay, because of our ability to use a language to make the API clearer, there are some really good examples of where the GTKMM API is far, far clearer than GTK+. Because we can do things like having default parameters. If, for instance, when you pack widgets into a box in GTK+, there's all kinds of wacky parameters you need. But most of the time, it's the same set of things. But if any time you have a function with four parameters, most of the time, they're always going to be the same. So we can have good defaults. So that you can start off doing something, when you don't see what you want on the screen, you can try the other ones. You don't have to worry so much first time you use that function just to get something. And again, you don't have to read so much documentation. You don't need the documentation to tell you what's most obvious. We also have templates. Templates are difficult. When you get them done right, they're great shortcuts. At the moment, in a tree view is very flexible. You can have all kinds of strange things happening. But because of that flexibility, to do the simple things, it takes a lot of code. There are no shortcuts yet. We already have them in GTKMM. For instance, let's see. There's model columns, there's view columns, there's cell renders, there's different ways for cell renders to act. There's different callbacks you need if you want something editable. Most of the time you just want to put things in a row and columns in a tree view and worry about special stuff later. That's a really simple example of a tiny part of the code, but it's a fairly good way to look at it. In GTK+, you would need to decide that this you need to make a new tree model, tree view column. You need to make a new cell render for that. You need to say what type of cell render it is. You need to choose the right cell render for the appropriate type of model data you have. You need to choose the right property to connect to the right renderable property of the cell renderer. There's a lot of choices to make, but they're almost always the same choices for certain types of model data. You can have numbers, strings, pixbuffs, booleans. If it's a boolean, you want it to have a toggle box. If it's a string, you want it to show a string in your view. You don't want it to show a number. It doesn't make any sense. If it's a pixbuff, it should be a pixbuff. There's other things you can do, but most of the time, the defaults are good. With GTKMM, you can just say, your model column should go into the view. It will do the most obvious thing. If it's a boolean, it'll be a toggle box. If it's a string, it'll be a text view. If it's a number, it will show it as a number. And it's even more complicated if you want to make that stuff editable. If you want to say when the user changes it, it should update the model automatically. People are surprised it doesn't do it already. But because there's, in theory, choices you want to make about which data should be acceptable, which numbers in a range should be acceptable. It's not a default in GTK+. We think there should be some default functionality. So you can already add a view column with this much code easily. If you want more stuff, you can then get at the columns, then get at the cell renderers, and do all the funky stuff. But most of the time you don't need to. Okay. Just so I can show you something real. I really like our tree view. I tried to. Okay, so. For those aren't familiar with the tree view, this is one of them, and if you imagine that this is Boolean information, that's how it's presented without you having to worry about it. A number is presented as number, text is presented as text. Okay. Particularly people who are used to other toolkits like MFC or Java, they're used to be able to lay things out on the screen. We have a vast amount of API for all the methods and abilities of all these widgets, but most of the time people want to lay it out. So now people are used to using Glade. You can use this in C++ as well. It's working well, and I think it's fairly obvious that we should be doing the tricky layout of widgets on screen and reserving C++ just for functionality, for responding to user events. It's coming standard now in GTK Plus. It's also workable in C++. You see a little bit of code there. It's very similar to what you'd see in C, but there's a few more checks. Does a few runtime checks, so if somebody changes your Glade file and it's not the widget you expect anymore, it will warn you. But at the same time, there's some type safety at compile time. You don't have to do a lot of cast. You can expect the dialogue. It can give you a dialogue back. Okay. I'm rushing through this a bit. Again, the corporate people are used to being able to create an application very quickly. They want to be able to create something which has file open save dialogues, which will worry about whether or not data in the application in the document has been saved. They don't want to write all that stuff every time. They don't want to worry about how it should be written. They want it to be done. One of my pet projects is Bakery, which provides document view for GTKML. It's loosely based on MFC, but it's not as crap. It allows you to derive a new application and just say, and derive a new view and derive a new document and put it together. It's mostly data models. It's not really implementing functionality. You're implementing what happens when somebody loads a document, what happens, or whether to say something has been modified or not. In principle, it allows you to focus on writing your own application's code and not the code which is in every single application. At the moment in GTK Plus, there's not much uniformity between applications, between the way what they do if the document doesn't have saved data, between what's in the menus, between how they save their session data. All these boring standard things should be there for you, and Bakery provides this for you. I gave the same talk last year, the last GWADAC. Not much has changed. GTKMM is... Well, last year we were working on this stuff, and it wasn't yet stable. The major thing that's changed is that GTKM 2.0 was released stable. We're now confident we made the right decisions. It works. People are using it. There's about 450 people on our mailing list, mostly corporate developers. We obviously didn't make any major mistakes. We made made also stable 2.2. So no major changes, just proved that it worked, proved that we could do it, proved that we could make a stable releases. We also stabilized a few extension libraries like the GNOME Canvas, gconf, like Ladenem, like I mentioned before, which are also being used. So people can have confidence that we understand APIs and stability and that we're reliable. And GTKM 2.4 has already been started. So we're now pretty much in sync with GTK Plus. It took us a while to get GTK Man 2 together. There was a lot of re-engineering to do, a lot of catch-up, and I think we stabilized about 6 months after GTK Plus. But I expect us to have the first release of GTK Man 2 plus 4 out a day or two after the first release of GTK Plus 2.4. I expect us to stabilize about the same time frame. Which gives people confidence. That's how it should be. We have wrappers for almost every GNOME library. The major ones missing at the moment are GNOME VFS and M, which has started. There's already releases of it. It's not mature yet, because we're still learning how it works. It's one of the least well-organized APIs in GNOME. But it's already started. It's looking good. It's looking useful. It works. It's going to allow people to write applications which work with all kinds of protocols, HTTP, all the strange stuff that GNOME VFS does, instead of just reading stuff from disk with C++ or SQLs. The GNOME UI wrappers are fairly mature. They're not stabilized because they depend on Bonobo. GNOME UI depends on Bonobo. Nobody's really using Bonobo, therefore nobody knows how it works. Even less people would want to use it for C++, and we have to implement a mapping for the ORB in C++, which is difficult. I have no hope we will stabilize our C++ ORB anytime soon. But in principle, if anybody needs GNOME UI and MM to be stable, we will stabilize it. Just say it's not complete. You can always have another one that's parallel installable that's unstable. But we accept that's no major problem because people don't want to do that much for them anyway. One of the good things in GTK MM 2.4 is that lots more of the GNOME UI functionality will move down to GTK Plus. That's where all the toolbar stuff will be, that's where all of the menu stuff will be. There'll be much less need for GNOME UI anyway. So kind of a relief. Because Orbit CPP is interesting, but we don't really know what we're doing, and we can't promise that it's ever going to be reliable. Over the last year, we've got heaps of documentation put together. We reuse the documentation from GTK Plus, overriding it where it's appropriate, where it's too specific to C. We change the language, but it means that we can already show you documentation which is complete. Just about every method has stuff there. Something about it. We also have a whole book written, have massive examples. We have more examples than there is for C, and I think easier examples. The major point is that not so much has happened over the last year, it's just stabilized. We proved it works. It's not controversial anymore. It's just there. You don't even have to, you know, people want to use C++ with the UI toolkit. It's an obvious choice. It's dull, boring, just works. That's how it should be. I'll just show you. Yeah, the thing about documentation. We're incredibly thorough. It's the most complete language binding there is. Every single example has been converted to GTKMM. The whole demo has been converted to GTKMM. It should all look the same when it runs, but it's implemented with MySQL cleaner code. And when you look at the C examples, look at the C++ examples, even if you don't know C++ very well, I think it should be easier to understand C++ examples, because it's a nicer language to understand. So for instance, you'll see, see the same demo in the GTK Plus directory, but I run it in C++. So you can confident that everything is wrapped, actually because we've gone through every single line of the headers, so it's wrapped, but because every example has been converted, we discover when something doesn't work. It's thoroughly tested. Every example is in there, plus more examples. There's the whole book explaining principles and other widgets, just like people want from a GUI toolkit. They want to have a lot of documentation to read, although they don't really need to because it's easy to get off the ground. It's full of example code, which is what you see down on the desk. So, masses of examples. You can just see the nice stuff. Well, the reference documentation, like I said, we reuse the reference documentation from C, allowing us to have thoroughly documented APIs. Due to game 1.2, a few things were documented not very well, but here it's just total documentation, and developers like it. Very thorough. Okay. This is the last slide. We can re-click. The most important thing about GTKMM, and the reason why it has been a success, is that we develop in public. It's not just a question of being open source. We are obsessed with talking about everything in public. It gets pretty boring sometimes because we do that so much, but in the end, things are done for a good reason, but at least there are reasons, and people have the opportunity to say things should be different. We're very inclusive, very welcoming of new contributors. There's must be about 40 people now on our changelog. Even people can always do something. There's always some little job that needs to be done, and we try to get people started on little things, and some of them learn more, start to help more. We have had problems in the past that the main people haven't had time sometimes, and development stagnates. But the whole point now is that nobody is essential to the development. There's enough people that it can be picked up again. So nobody ever needs to worry that GTKMM will not continue to be developed. Partly because the basis is now so good, the framework is so good, the whole system of generating code is easier to use. And partly because there are so many people involved now, and so many people. There's less people involved in depth. There's probably 10 people who understand the way the code is generated. But there's probably 40 people who understand something or other and don't feel completely lost. So they all have a way in. So, again, you can have confidence that it will survive, it will continue to be up to date. And I think that's important. I keep mentioning corporates, but they will always be the major users because corporations use C++ more than open source Unix developers. And they like not to have to worry about things, like have no loose ends. So we're very welcoming on the list. The list is very heavy traffic, but still welcome to new people. Lots of examples, demos done. You can always come and talk to us in IRC. This is in major contrast to other toolkits like Qt, where you cannot talk to the developers personally. We use Bugzilla heavily. You can see now what are the outstanding bugs. You can see what needs to be done. There is no doubt everything is out there in the open. If things start to get out of hand, you'd see it's happening, and you can see where you can help. Well, I haven't rushed through things too fast. Are there any specific questions about things I mentioned in my slides? Are there any questions in general? Is anybody just, are people just vaguely interested in GDKMM, or are people planning to use it more in the future? Can I get any reaction? Who's that? And what kind of situation are you using it? What environment? Process assimilation. Simulation. Okay. That's like factories, that kind of thing. I guess you work for a company, and that's something that has. It's one thing that we would love it if there are lots of open source applications showing people using it. People always ask us, well, you know, it's so good, who's using it? There are smaller applications that are open source using it, often produced by people working on GDKMM itself, but the vast majority of people are people working on in-house stuff, and we don't get to show their code to people. But it's very popular. Yeah, it's very difficult at first, because if most of the users are not regular open source developers, they're not used to, we have to tell them how to make a patch. They're not quite used to how to use a mailing list, but they do get used to it, and I think it brings people into it. And they like to have a bug fixed quickly, they like to be helped immediately, they like to talk to developers directly. And we're open to it, and they get the hang of it. But it's a slightly different culture because of that. Yeah, we get both. We get for some reason there's a big group of developers at EADS, which is a big defense aerospace firm, and they give us fairly detailed patches, and they give us enough information to fix the problem. It doesn't really occur to them that they might fix it themselves. And we kind of have to help them themselves, because they're not paying me to do it. So it's a bit of both. But again, it's encouraging corporations to use an open source product, and to get their paid developers contributing back to it. Whereas most corporations think that every single line of code they have should belong to the company and never be seen by anybody else. It's like, I like the way we do that. It's like a community working together. No more questions? Have I given you, do you think, a good overview of GDKMM? Have I answered the questions you... Because we're here as part of GLADAC, and because GDKMM has some role inside GNOME as a whole. And at the moment, Orbit is part of GNOME. If you're going to wrap the whole of GNOME, or the platform, the development platform, you have to talk about Orbit. Actually, that's something I wanted to show. The dependency chain of GDKMM. This is generated with JH build. It's got this nifty way to you can find out the dependencies and build a little graph. It's fairly simple for GDKMM. It depends on GDK plus, which has ADK and Pango and glib in there as well. And it depends on libsig, C++, the other signals and slots. That's fairly easy. Half of that stuff will be on every distribution anyway. Actually it's also worth mentioning that GDKMM, without the rest of GNOME, runs on Windows as well. There's an installer for it, you can install it, get all your stuff there, working with the dev C++ compiler. The demos are there as well. It worked really well. We're really impressed with it. And it's good, again, good competition for Qt, which is also cross-platform. And it also runs on another Solaris compiler, under Forte. So Sun will be able to use it for their corporate for the corporate people when Sun is using GNOME, for instance. We recently had some people trying to get running on embedded devices, talking about TinyX and something. Yeah, it's not my area of expertise. People are playing with it, but there's always going to be so few developers that I also don't. I don't know if they really tell us how good it works, because if somebody gets the stuff working on their embedded device, they're making a device they want to sell, and they don't want to give too much information. They don't want to give too much information away just yet. I think it should, and there's no obstacle to it. As long as GTK Plus works, you're going to get GTK M working. But they have issues with static compiling. It's not what I do, but people are trying it, and I think they have some success. Now, but that's the simple development dependency tree for GTK M. But for GNOME MM, it gets insanely complicated. Just as it's insanely complicated for GNOME, I can't even fit it on screen here. You've got Canvas, GNOME, Conf. As soon as you look at the number UI, you've got all kinds of crap here. It's much more complicated, and the major problem is orbit CPP. It's difficult. A Corba orb is always going to be hard to write. There's actually somebody else has got involved recently, Bobby Owens. He suddenly started fixing all problems we didn't even know existed, and he's writing great code, and there's a chance that it will be done, and might even be stabilized. It might, you know, be respected by people who know what they're doing with Corba. But it's not to be expected. You can't depend on it. People are moving against or away from Bonobo and Corba and GNOME anyway, so that's just a relief. It's interesting to still work on it, but it's no longer essential to us. All of these extensions to GTK and all the other wrappers to GNOME are separate. You can choose to use libGNOME, Canvas, and then if you want that functionality, you can choose to use libBlade, and then or gconf, and then, but just take what you need. It's the same as with C. You're not depend on the whole GNOME platform, just a bit to me. So, any more questions? Okay. Well, thank you, everybody.